There's an old story about a man who went to see a psychologist. The man was obviously under a great deal of stress and shaking and trembling. The psychologist said, "What seems to be the problem?" The man answered, "It's my job. I just can't take it. I just can't handle it." "What do you do?" asked the psychologist. "Well," said the man, "I stand in front of this conveyor belt, and every day I have to decide, is this a big potato or is this a little potato? Is this a big potato or is this a little potato? I can't handle it. I just can't cope." I wonder how many of us go through life the same way, wondering, is this a big problem or is this a little problem? So we see that stress is just a matter of our perspective. The major causes of stress, as managers perceive them, was revealed in a study by Robert Pierce. They were listed as fear of failing, physical and emotional impact of long hours, travel and deadlines, inadequate support by superiors, ineffective performance by superiors, inadequate performance from subordinates, and a political climate, perhaps dog-eat-dog, job description ambiguity, or inadequate credit and recognition or knowledge of how to advance. Another study includes these items. This is from the League of California Cities and was done by officials from California Cities. They listed stress as time pressures, competing demands, insufficient information to make a decision, that there was no one best solution, competing loyalties, irrational and emotionally charged issues, inability to get your point across, inadequate staff performance and preparation, and when others tried to manipulate, pressure, or deceive. But stress does not only involve negative things. Stress is the body's response to any demand placed on it, whether the demand is shocking grief or pleasant relief. Imagine the following scene. A mother, tired from a long day's work, is reading the evening paper and is about to fall asleep on her couch. A man with a telegram arrives, informing her that her son has been killed in battle. Will she continue reading? Fall asleep? Stay relaxed? No, she will arise and, as a part of the stress syndrome, walk back and forth with increasing motility. Her heart will pump harder, and she will feel it. She will have insomnia for weeks. Now, a scene 2 years later, after she has adapted to the situation. She is in the same position, about to fall asleep by reading the newspaper, when another man comes in. He is her son, saying, "Mom, I wasn't the one killed. That was somebody else they thought was me. I was captured. And my captors weren't even cruel, so I was protected against all the dangers of war." What will the woman do? Continue reading? Fall asleep? No, she will do exactly what she did before. Jump up and pace the floor. Her heart is pounding. Despite the good news, she will be unable to concentrate for weeks. She will be sleepless from eustress. So you see, the relationship between stress and eustress is a close one in daily life. You all have experienced it. Stress is a fight or flight response, and it's instinctive in animals, in prehistoric man, and in modern man. Once it was necessary for survival, and the physiological reactions remain the same today. Incidents cause involuntary release of hormones into the bloodstream in preparation for fight or flight. Blood clotting time speeds up. Fats in the blood increase. Sugar in the blood increases. The heart pumps faster. The blood pressure rises. Muscle tension increases. And adrenaline pours into the bloodstream. When release is not provided repeatedly, ill health can result. The possible results are chronic hypertension, a damaged heart muscle and blood vessels, fatty deposits in the vessels, and a reliance on drugs and alcohol. Now, if you don't feel that you have enough stress in your life and you have asked yourself, why can't I get stress like anyone else? I have 10 ways to increase stress in your life. Drink at least 3 cups of coffee before every coffee break. Replay the inevitable nuclear holocaust in your mind over and over. Kill your pets. Have an affair with a cocaine dealer. Eat at least 3 hot, well-balanced salt licks a day. Constantly try to change things over which you have absolutely no control. Cancel all vacations until you achieve your ideal weight. Take responsibility for the actions of everyone you've ever met. Jog or exercise while you think of all the opportunities you have blown in your life. Constantly think about quitting smoking, and with each drag, try to picture the millions of tiny cancer cells raping and pillaging your red blood cells. There are 5 positive things about stress. It's free. It's popular. It's simple to maintain. Old and young can get it. And it keeps doctors busy. So you have a chance to change. Have you ever said, things are so great, I think I'll improve? It's not what happens, but how you take it. And to change your thinking is to change your life. Alleviate your sense of time urgency. We call this hurry sickness. Recognize its presence and watch others that you're talking to. Do they feel rushed? Are they afraid you'll interrupt? Find its cause. The usual cause is the persistent fear that sooner or later you will be unable to cope with some task or situation, and you'll lose status in eyes of peers and superiors. Sometimes a subconscious fear that you lack intelligence, training, resource, or the experience necessary. In the 18th century, Lord Chesterfield said, "Whoever is in a hurry shows that the thing he is about is too big for him." The treatment is to replace old beliefs with new ones. My sense of time urgency has helped me gain social and economic success. Have you said that to yourself? Wrong. You succeeded despite it. Let's look at the true cause of your success. And that may be your creative ability, your aptitude for making correct decisions at critical points, your talent for systematizing, organizing, and simplifying various procedures, your capacity for inspiring the confidence and cooperation of your subordinates, peers, and superiors, your awareness of the consequences of your actions, your ability to keep in mind the future importance of whatever you accomplish on a given day, in a given week, month, or year, your capacity for performing tedious and often dull and boring activities to reach your goals. Or perhaps your old belief is, I can't do anything about it. Wrong again. Habits and addictions are not your personality. Think of all the habits that you've changed. What is lifelong learning but a process in which old thoughts and actions are constantly modified and replaced by new ones? Perhaps your old belief is, my insecurity is too deep-seated to change. Again, wrong. You are not your actions. There's no need to apologize for what you do. Recognize that you'll never be a prophet in your own land. Ashley Brilliant says, go ahead and shoot, and whatever you hit, say that was your target. Bob Trask puts it this way, if things don't work out the way you planned, then plan them the way they worked out. When someone says, what a mess, smile and say, yep, that's just the way I planned it. And when they say, What are you going to do now? Give them a smile, roll up your sleeves, and say, just watch me. I wonder how many of you keep a to-do list, things that need to be accomplished every day. Well, I'm going to give you a not-to-do list. Do not do all low-priority items unless high-priority things are done. Do not do any task whose completion is of little or no consequence. Do not do anything you can delegate. Do not do anything just to please others because you fear their condemnation or want them in your debt. Do not do thoughtless or inappropriate requests for your time and effort. Do not do anything others should be doing for themselves. There are several keys for effective scheduling. Block out planning time early in the morning or late at night. Block out your committed time, your appointments, meetings, classes, and job responsibilities. Mark deadlines. Design flexible schedules. Take the estimated time to accomplish a job and multiply it by 1.25. Block out recreation and diversion time. We have found that compulsive workers lose long-range perspective necessary for real success. And avoid overcommitment and learn to say no. Say no rapidly before people can anticipate that you may say yes, for the delay equals animosity. Realize that you have a right to say no. Offer your refusals politely and pleasantly, and offer a counterproposal. After you have eliminated the trash events and activities cluttering your life, you should next adopt the following practices. Allow yourself idling time before and after breakfast. Regard your breakfast as an event to take pleasure in, not a hurried prelude to a hurried day. If this means getting up earlier in the morning, do so. Begin taking several mini holidays during the workday in which you can daydream, meditate, or just plain nap. Such holidays need not be longer than 10 or 15 minutes. Make no attempt to get everything finished by 5 p.m. if you must pressure yourself to do so. It is far better to work later if absolutely necessary, or take work home with you. It's not the number of hours that you work, but the pressure under which you spend these hours. It's far better to work 10 hours a day without time urgency than 8 or even 4 hours a day with it. A good index of whether you are working under too much pressure is the ease with which you can stop working for a few minutes to indulge in pleasant conversation with your associates, to gaze at pictures on your walls, or the foliage outside your windows, or to lean back and meditate. Remind yourself every morning of the fact that life is, by its very nature, unfinished, and that you should not expect or even wish for all your projects to come to an end completely at a given hour, week, month, or even year. Just as your heart and liver have no set date at which their chores will be over, neither has your brain. The electrocardiogram and electroencephalogram prove electrically that the heart and brain are always actively at work. When you no longer have problems or challenges to overcome, your electrocardiogram and your electroencephalogram will register a low, straight, waveless, and lifeless line. While you are alive, your life consists not of separate endings and beginnings, but of continuously occurring problems and potential solutions. Listen to the conversation of others, always bearing in mind that the more you listen, the more you will gain from their experiences. You will also gain their respect. A good conversationalist is invariably a good listener. If you see someone doing a job more slowly than you know you would do it yourself, do not interfere. You will then be able to congratulate yourself not only upon your superior skills, but also upon your wisdom. Before you tackle a task, ask yourself, will the execution of this task matter 5 years from now? Must it be done right away? Can it be delegated to someone else? The answer should temper your habitual haste to rush in and try to do too much in too little time. Before you speak, ask yourself, do I really have something to say? Does anyone wish to hear it? Is this the right time to say it? If the answer to even one of these questions is no, keep silent. Merely asking these questions more often than not will keep you silent. Some of us have the habit of inflicting stories or opinions on people who often aren't all that interested in hearing them. And then we unconsciously speed up in the discourse in an attempt to finish in the face of their growing boredom. The next time you find yourself relating some incident that seems to you interesting or important, excuse yourself to go to the bathroom before coming to the point. Then when you return, keep silent and see whether anyone asks you to pick up where you had left off. And don't be angry if no one does. Tell yourself at least once a week that few enterprises ever fail because they are executed too slowly or too well. Then ask yourself if conditions of haste have ever aided in the formulation of good judgments and correct decisions. Learn to interrupt long sessions of working with periods of relaxation. It is far better that you work 12 hours a day without tension than a shorter period under pressure. But it is difficult to work continuously without building up tension inside you. Take a 5 or 10 minute break every hour during the work session. Stretch out, or daydream, or talk with an associate. If your pet is nearby, play with it. After all, that's why it lives with you. When Emerson felt himself getting tense, he would walk to his garden and pull up a few carrots. Seek beauty wherever and in whatever form you may find it. Enjoy exquisite things, even if you cannot buy them or keep them for yourself. They may be in museums, in books, or the collections of others. In scenes recalled from your travels, or deliberately sought out all around you. You can provide a stimulus to your spirit by thinking over beauty you have seen or experienced in the past. If you find that your memory is empty of such things, this should prove to you that you have already wasted too much of your life on trash events and numbers. Visit an art museum, a park, or an aquarium. Note carefully the various components in making up a tree, a flower, a bird, a sunset, or a dawn. Alter one of your usual habits or ways of doing things. Walk, talk, and eat more slowly. Recall past times and events for 15 minutes. Leave your watch off. Do absolutely nothing but listen to music for 15 minutes. Ask a member of your family at dinner what he or she did that day, and then listen to the answer. Find a long line in a supermarket and get at the end of it. As you wait and find yourself becoming restless, ask yourself why you find it so boring to be alone with yourself. Look at the other persons in the line and in the store and think about them. What sort of persons are they? What sort of life have they led? What problems have they had? Are they rich or poor? Are they intelligent, stupid, or in between? Are they sad or happy? Decide whether they seem to you handsome or pretty. And when you feel this waiting is a waste of time, ask yourself, why do I find it so boring to to commune only with myself. Ask yourself, what did I do right today, and what happened that is worth remembering? Invite someone to lunch and make certain your guest is encouraged to talk about his or her interests and problems, not yours. In other words, leave the table richer in the knowledge of someone else's life. Let me once again remind you that what we are offering here is nothing less than a chance at liberation from a behavior pattern that is putting your very life at stake. It may help you to think in terms of freedoms. You are getting the freedom to overcome your insecurity and regain your self-esteem. The freedom to give and receive love. The freedom to mature. The freedom to restore and enrich your personality. The freedom to overcome and replace old hurtful habits with new life-enhancing ones. The freedom to take pleasure in the experiences of your friends and family members. The freedom to recall your past life frequently and with satisfaction. The freedom to listen. The freedom to play. And the freedom to enjoy tranquility. This side of the tape is an integration and application of the principles you have learned, a relaxation exercise to help you control the stress in your life. Begin by allowing your body to be completely relaxed. Lean back, rest your arms beside you, and close your eyes. Keep your eyes closed gently while you learn to relax and repeat. I am aware of the feelings in my body. I notice whether I am warm or cold. I feel the chair or floor beneath me. I let my body gradually get heavier. I take a deep breath and hold it. And now I let it out slowly. I take another deep breath and hold it. I let it out slowly. I feel the tightness going out of my chest and body. Feelings of deep relaxation are beginning to spread to all parts of my body. I now focus my attention on my hands. I notice the feelings from them and let go of the muscles. I relax the muscles in my hands. Even more than I'm doing now, I allow my hands and fingers gradually to become looser and heavier. I let the relaxation begin to flow from the muscles of my fingers and hands, up through my wrists and into my forearms. I feel my forearms getting looser and heavier. I enjoy the pleasant feeling of my hands and forearms. My hands and forearms getting looser and heavier. I let go of my muscles. I let go now in my upper arms. The relaxation is moving from muscle to muscle. A pleasantly heavy feeling is coming into my arms. I am getting more deeply relaxed, heavier. More relaxed and heavier. Letting go is voluntary. I think of relaxing, and I can feel the muscles getting looser and heavier. Now I let the relaxation move up through my shoulders and into my neck. The pad behind me is completely supporting my head so that my neck muscles can loosen. And I relax. I let the muscles in my neck slacken. I become limp, getting more and more relaxed. I pay attention to my scalp. I smooth out my scalp. I let the muscles become loose and limp. A heavy, relaxed feeling is spreading across my scalp. I smooth out my forehead. I imagine it getting smooth and relaxed. The heavy feeling is flowing down across my face. I relax the muscles around my eyes, letting go of the muscles. My eyes remain gently closed. I relax my cheeks, my jaw muscles, and the muscles around my mouth are also getting heavier and more relaxed. I feel them gradually becoming heavier and more relaxed, growing more deeply relaxed. The relaxation is spreading to my throat. The relaxation is now flowing down into my chest. I relax my chest. I enjoy the sensation. I feel the muscles of my body gradually getting looser and more relaxed. I notice now the muscles in my abdomen. I feel these muscles getting looser. I think of letting go of these muscles. I feel these muscles getting looser and more relaxed. Now I relax the muscles in my back, my upper and lower back. All the tightness is leaving my back. The muscles around my hips and thighs are getting looser and more relaxed. I feel how heavy my body is becoming. Pressing pleasantly into the chair, I just let myself get heavier, gradually get looser and more relaxed. I can feel the wave of relaxation spreading down through my chest, stomach, and hips. The relaxation is deep, deeper and deeper, heavier and more relaxed. I let the relaxation flow down my legs, through my knees, now into my calves. I relax my calves. I think of relaxing my calf muscles. Very deeply relaxed. I relax the muscles in my feet. I let my feet get relaxed more and more relaxed. My whole body is still growing heavier, getting more relaxed. I tune in to any part of my body where there may still be some tightness. I just think of relaxing those parts, and I find that they become much more relaxed than they are now. I continue relaxing. I enjoy it. I let myself sink deeper and heavier into relaxation. I spend a few minutes enjoying the feeling of deep relaxation that has spread to all parts of my body. Each time I do this exercise, I will be increasing my ability to observe, to control my thoughts from within myself. I am creating a greater awareness of the present. The unpleasant events of the past become less and less important, dissolved in the light of reality. I cannot change my past anyway, so there is no point in thinking about it or being annoyed by it, no matter what it was. No longer does it feel, nor is it important. There is nothing I can do in my thinking to change it, so I will forget it. What I do not think about cannot bother me. The future is similar. I will not worry about it. I will clear my mind, and this causes me to keep my thinking simple things that will be revealed to me in the place in my mind where I used to be annoyed, but no longer am. Nothing from now on will upset, irritate, aggravate, agitate, or harm my feelings, not in the slightest degree, especially those little unkind, unfair, and dishonest things that people say and do to me and others from day to day. I will not suppress anger. I will just overlook and forgive problems that cannot be changed. Make allowances immediately, right at the moment. Not because I have to, but because I want to. I realize it is my own anger and irritation that hurt me more than the unthinking cruelties of other people. Therefore, from now on, I will overlook, watch for the opportunity to overlook, and forgive right on the spot, not 2 seconds later, but immediately when it happens, so that I will respond more to what I know and shall come to know as right and less to conditions and people. I will make allowances for and forgive everyone from now on, no matter who it is, especially those close to me. Since I cannot control my faults, those I can see and those I cannot, I do not have the right to be annoyed at the faults of others, especially my family. The ones to make allowances for first are the ones close to me. If I cannot do it for the loved ones, how can I expect to do it for strangers? And how can I expect others to forgive me? If I make allowances for my family, it will be easier for me to do it for people who mean less to me. Love does not expect anything from anyone. It is what I expect others to do and do not receive that makes me annoyed. It does not matter what others have or do. When I do something for someone, I will do it because I want to, not because I have to. I will have no imaginary conversations with people as to what I'm going to say to so-and-so the next time I see him or her. Never mind what I should have done or could have done or said. What has been cannot be changed, no matter how much I wish it. But I can change from now on. If I have felt disturbed about some worry or mistake in the past, I will remember that those persons, if they are good, would have forgiven me without my asking. If they are not good, I will just start making allowances for and forgiving them from now on. Each time I am patient with another, I obtain forgiveness and I undo a few of my past mistakes. The coward is a coward from the time he should have been brave until the next time. If he again fails to be brave, he is a greater coward and with more remorse than before. But if he chooses to be brave and courageous at that time, he will no longer be a coward. If the world should suddenly become perfect, the coward would never have a chance to redeem himself. And so it is with me. I have allowed myself to become annoyed and irritated over many trivial things in life, and when I should have overlooked them and made allowances, I did not. If there were no danger, I could not possess courage. If there were no hatred or temptation, how could I develop love and virtue? Other people are giving me an opportunity to accomplish now what I may have failed to do before. Situations which once made me upset, guilty, and afraid will become the very things to give me happiness and a sense of well-being from now on. Whoever should try to anger me or upset me is giving me an opportunity to rise above my problems. They do not know this, but they are doing me a great favor, and the harder people try to upset me, the calmer I become, the brighter my light will shine. So I will remember, overlook, and forgive right on the spot. Be plain spoken. Tell the truth with firmness, kindness, and patience. He who tends to annoy me, intentionally or otherwise, is trying to hurt and control me with my own anger. I will keep him out of my thoughts. I will respond only with patience and whatever thought or deed that shall come forth out of the center of my calmness. I keep this idea running through my thoughts often. I have awareness of it at all times in my mind. I keep this as a spiritual and moral goal. I will let it be more important than any material goal in the world, for it is the means by which everything else is accomplished. I will let the whole procedure give me a satisfaction and a joy of doing, which will far exceed the pleasure from material things. It will be a joy to think about, to understand, and to do again and again. It will change everything that passes through my mind. I shall make decisions according to my inner calmness. Everything I feel, do, or say will conform to it. That is, I will be patient, overlook and forgive, be outspoken with fairness, kindness, and patience. I do it because I want to, not because I have to. I do it because I want understanding. I do it for the sake of honesty rather than to feel good. I do it for the pure love of seeing truth prevail, to be a better person regardless of profit or loss or whether it makes me well. If I want to have a real goal to think about, I will let it be just to learn to be unmoving in my patience and to make allowances for others. If I could do that, I would truly be better off. The achievement of no other goal could give me such satisfaction. Everything I am saying merely points to the simplest instruction, to overlook and forgive on the spot, to be plain spoken with firmness, kindness, and patience. If I have something to say, I will say it. If I have something to do, I will do it. What isn't worth saying or doing isn't worth thinking about, so I will forget it. As long as I am calm and patient and not upset, I cannot possibly hurt anyone with my words or deeds, and at those times I have a right to speak up. I cannot please everyone anyway, so I will stop trying that. I am responsible only for expressing the truth for each moment. If others become upset over my purity, then they will see their own faults in the light of my patience. The first thing is to react only after careful thought, never jumping to conclusions. I will be patient under trial. As long as I am not annoyed, I will always be able to disagree without being disagreeable. If people are upset because of my honesty, they are not my friends anyway, and I might as well know it. My real friends will come to respect me and love me for my honesty and truthfulness. I will not plan my conversations ahead of time, such as, if he says this to me, I will say that to him. I will keep the idea pure in my mind. Whatever it is, I will overlook pettiness and forgive. I will be plain spoken with firmness, kindness, and patience. I will make sure that I overlook the things that should be overlooked and that I am plain spoken about those things that should be said. I will use my judgment. I will be sure not to change my words just to soften the outcome, keeping within myself that which should be said or done and which may fester into resentment or guilt if not expressed. Whatever personal problems I have, I will stop looking for a reason, for I will see the reason in good time. All I achieve by searching is to confuse myself even more. I will keep problems out of my thoughts by dwelling on what I am learning at that moment. I will not analyze what I am thinking. I will only push additional thoughts out of my mind. It does not matter whether others love me, if I love them. It does not matter if people understand me, if I understand them. And if they do not forgive me, I forgive them. I will not say, stupid idiot, when someone else acts foolishly. Rather, I will say to myself, here, let me help you. Although it is correct to observe faults, I will not puff up emotionally and criticize others. I will make allowances and forgive them on the spot. I will not take personal offense at anything. I will let criticism roll off me like water off a duck's back. I will not be excited by praise or offended by criticism. Each time I am patient and do not respond to torment and temptation, there will be a greater feeling of achievement, and I will see things in a different light. And what I shall come to understand will increase the meaning of the basic truth, which is to understand and forgive on the spot. Then each time I do this exercise, I will automatically carry down my new understanding into my daily life so that I will do it with increasing skill, which in turn will bring more understanding. And the more I understand, the more I will feel inclined to do what I understand, and the less I will respond to outer conditions, to temptation, and to what other people say and do. I will respond only to my inner self. I remember to make allowances for people with all my thinking, all my feeling, with all my understanding, with all my being, because I want to, not because I have to. I will not analyze, ponder on it within myself. I will not worry, will it work? Will it last? I will cast out all doubt. I bring my mind back again and again to my objective. I do not discuss this or even think about it. I just feel it within and do it. And now slowly, as I complete this exercise, I recognize that I am helping my body heal itself by having it respond in this way, by having my body and mind work together in perfect harmony. And as I return to a normal level of awareness, I bring back with me the beautiful sensation of comfort, relaxation, and joy felt at the deeper levels of thinking I have experienced. I take a deep breath, open my eyes, and stretch comfortably, feeling the energy flowing throughout my body.